Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Want to kind of reiterate real fast before we get into prayer. Check us out on our TikTok. We got a little spinoff called Bible Roulette.
Yes.
May be exciting to you, may not, but we enjoy doing it. We'd appreciate the views. I'm going to pass it over to you now and let you say a prayer, and we'll get this thing started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come together to worship you, to fellowship with one another, to grow our relationship with you, and to just really dive in and have real conversation, Father God. Thank you for all those out there who choose to listen, and Father, we just want to commit the whole thing to you, that in something that we say, people find peace in knowing you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, on the Bible roulette thing, like, some people might take that in a weird connotation because of the roulette thing, you know. Some people are really legalistic about the gambling thing, and look, anything can be dangerous. Gambling can be a very dangerous thing to do because, sit at a table with money, throwing money down, trying to win some more, and, you know.
Yeah, but if you...
Everything in moderation.
Yeah,
right?
Everything in moderation. I don't see that it could be a bad thing as long as you're not...
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't affect your contributions to your church, you know, your bills, your livelihood, the food on your table. I mean, I know there's people out there, I don't know personally, but sure. I know there's people out there that are...
Yeah,
do struggle with gambling addiction, and they'll lose their mortgage, you know, gambling,
right.
That's when it's bad.
I think the reason that we spoke about or doing it is, number one, we're drawing these cards from a deck of cards it's just Bible verses. They look like coasters, right? There's Bible verses on two sides of a card, and we're doing it at random. We don't even know what we're getting until we pull it out of the deck, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of, it's at chance. But I also believe there is scripture we'd have to look up that where it talks about God causes the dice to land. Like he's in everything, even the things that are of chance, the thing that we think are just by chance.
Yeah.
God is in it too, yeah. Right? And so to me, the concept is even if it's a chance thing, God's still working in it, right? And we're talking about scripture, right? So maybe in that moment, there's something that somebody needs to hear that God's trying to say to somebody, and that we get the opportunity to share that as long as they want to listen. you know what I mean? That's really the whole point of it.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an awesome responsibility, and it starts to make me feel a little nervous.
Yeah, I got
to
you.
Be honest with you. But
we talked about... last week, we talked about fixing a problem. The feeling of distancing ourselves.
Yeah, we were talking about. It started off talking about stewarding of time, and about how like you were feeling kind of like you're not doing much of anything. You know what I mean? And then at one point, you were kind of not mad at me. We were like, "You killed my point," and I was like, I'm sorry. It's because it was like, well, we do this and we do two Bible studies in the week. Like, it's not like you're doing zero.
Yeah.
But because that's how you were kind of feeling in the time. And every time we bring a problem to the table, my first reaction is like, okay, cool. We've identified an issue.
Yeah.
But it's not good enough to just identify it.
Yeah.
Now what do you do about it?
Yeah. And the sad thing is I forgot. I forgot that I wrote that down last week, and it's young.
Hey, shame on me, because I actually thought this morning, I came in here to turn the air conditioner on because it's hot as heck where we're at, right? And we have extra AC in this room because it gets hot in here, even worse with all the electronics and two dudes, you know, with testosterone flowing and I meant to send you a message like, hey, remember we left this hanging last week that we were going to revisit, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. And I just,
shame on me.
Shame on you.
For shame.
No worries.
The first thing I think of actually though, it's interestingly enough, like Proverbs 16:3, I don't know if you remember last week in our couples group, you asked the group to come back with a scripture about commitment.
Yeah.
And four out of the five of us came with the same scripture, yeah, which was Proverbs 16:3. And this is actually, I think it ties right into the thought process, and it's commit your actions to the Lord, right? Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed.
Yeah.
I think that how do we address that issue? We remind ourselves that we got to commit our actions to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's a moment by moment, issue by issue thing, right? You literally have to commit it every single time. Christ says, pick up your cross daily. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not pick it up once and we're done.
Yeah. No. Pick that up and you'll be good. No, that's not how it goes.
No.
Yeah, I lifted that once.
No, you got to lift it again.
Yeah.
And again. Yeah. And again. And again. Carry and again. And again. And keep going, right? So I think how we address that situation, two, we talked about in Bible Roulette, I think we're a society of overthinkers. You know what I mean? We way over-evaluate things. And, ooh, I might hurt somebody's feelings. We are not nearly as important as we think we are.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, you know, kind of, I cannot remember this guy's name, but he does a speech on, like, woke,
yeah,
stuff, and he talks about the reigning problem is that no one ever told you when you were a kid that your thoughts weren't that important.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean.
Hey, and you know you could say the same thing about what we're doing right here. Yeah. Like,
well, yeah, but I think that's a very good way of looking at it. When we think that everything that we're doing and saying is should be taken,
yeah,
with the utmost importance, and it's really, yeah, look, dude, we're the smaller picture of this big thing that's going on in life.
You it's know what me. I mean? I'm the problem.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yes.
But, yeah, I can see where that would be. You could really kind of get that feeling of purpose from everybody validating everything.
Yeah. About
you. But that's not the case all the time. Yeah. So,
look, I think that every person has value. Every person. Yeah. I think that God uses everybody from the lowest to the highest, right?
Yeah.
From the least to the most.
For something.
For something.
He uses them for something.
Yeah, but we all think that it has to be something great and something greater. And when they talk about the body of Christ, like every part of the body is important, right? You can't say to the left eye, I'm not important because I'm not the right eye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, right? Yeah. You're both an eye.
Yeah.
Right? It reminds me that I shared this with you this morning about my problem is I expect me out of people. And what that really made me think of was like,
you're putting too much faith in humans.
Right. But I'm expecting people to be where I'm at emotionally, physically, the way I think.
Yeah.
My values. I'm expecting them to be on an even plane. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that that's an issue for probably most everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
I understand 100% what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like, do I truly 100% believe that this pathway with Christ is the only way? I do truly believe that.
Yes. You're not getting into heaven without that.
Right.
It's that shouldn't be your only outlook. Your outlook should be to better yourself, to walk according to God's plan for you. That should be your main focus.
Right.
Now,
does that mean
it's hard to do that?
Oh gosh.
It's very hard to do that. I struggle right now with so much self-confidence that.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm like a walking freaking.
Where do you think it comes from?
You know.
It's not you. It is you, but it originated somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to really kind of put. Right now, it's more of I'm not trying to place that on someone else or
sure
on a previous
sure.
event that happened sure. in life. I'm trying to kind of stand over that and sure. conquer that.
Right.
And I know I have to do that.
Yeah.
I have to do that. I can't. For lack of a better word, I'm trying not to use it as a crutch.
That's 100% fair.
You know what I mean?
I totally get what you're saying. Because I'm no, yeah. I mean, when we sit here and talk about things that have happened in the past and things that have, like, I've been very open about some of that stuff and about, yeah. like, my creative ventures and stuff like that. Like, I put some of that out for the world to see. I didn't get anything negative out of it. You know, I didn't get a whole lot of positive either. But you know what I mean? Like, in my previous experience, that's what's kept me from sharing.
Yeah.
Like, even doing this, doing a podcast, like, that was very, very nerve-wracking, just the thought, right? Just the thought of putting my thoughts out there, the thought of putting my voice out there for people to hear, to put my past out there.
For people to judge.
Yeah.
Because that's ultimately what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it already has. We know that.
Sure.
Someone somewhere has been like, these two freaking goons, you know?
Yeah, they are. That's just Jesus.
Yeah, or whatever they have to say about us. Yeah. I mean, our views are flawed, but we're human.
Yep.
And we're not trying to say they're right.
Nope.
That's our views.
What I'm trying to do.
What I will say this, though, what is right is you. I really do pray that more people find Christ and before it's too late. I mean,
it's only getting worse and darker out there.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's not going to get any easier. Like, no, we should.
It all has to happen. It's
sure.
I mean, it's prophecy. Sure. It has to happen.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Man, it's scary to look at the news. I refuse to look at the news anymore. I don't want to know until it's here.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? I think too, like, what's our purpose while we're in it, right? While we're here.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? I can't change anybody's behavior. It's not going to happen.
All you can change is your reaction.
All I can do, and that's all I'm really responsible for.
Yeah.
Right. I'm responsible for me and how I react. And if my reaction is going to be one that comes with hatred and anger and judgment, you might as well just keep it to yourself because that's not helping.
Yeah.
Right. If my reaction comes with love, it still doesn't change the behavior. They have to make that decision, right? It's no different than your as a parent.
Yeah.
Right? You tell your kid, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not good for you. You're not supposed to do that. I told you not to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a dad will be, a mom will be like, no, get your hand away from there. Pow! A dad will be like, no.
Let him do it.
Watch this.
Yeah, let them do it. And I think that's the thing, though. Like,
knowledge earned
is
better than knowledge given.
I had a conversation earlier, and somebody was telling me, like, look, there's so much wrong with the world. Name one. We can go off on any of those things. But basically, the thought process was, like, if you're not out there condoning it or condemning it, then you're condoning it. Right. Like, if you're not out there speaking out against it, then you're condoning the behavior. And I'm like, that's such a flawed way of seeing it.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to not be out there condemning everybody. Then if that's the way you're going to be, that's like, and that's not
then you're putting yourself in a position of being condemned too.
100%. The thing is we are not the judge.
No. We are the furthest thing from the judge's seat. You know what I mean? Like,
as far as it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing. And it's like, look, I disagree with a lot of things, a lot of behaviors. I disagree with my own behaviors. You know what I mean? And I think that's where the whole, look, I understand that we're never going to be perfect. And so, like, in order to help people, if you really love them, you're not going to just let them stay where they are. But I always question motivation, right?
Yeah.
If you're gonna go to somebody that you see who's living in a terrible sin, and you're gonna go to them and you're gonna say, "Look, man, that's not healthy for you. That's not good for you." I understand that. If you're coming with love, if that's your motivation, but if your motivation is to go over there and say, "You know that's wrong. If you continue in it, you're gonna go to hell."
Yeah.
That's not your responsibility.
Yeah,
that's not helping, and you're not gonna change it anyway.
No. You're going to push them further away.
Exactly. The only one that can change people truly is Christ. Yeah. That's where the whole idea of we plant seeds.
Yeah.
God is responsible for the harvest, right? We are not. I know that's hard for people because we want to be out there cutting fingers off and you know, doing all
the, and like right now with traffic the way it is around here, because
I want to,
every major thoroughway is under construction, so it takes took me 40 almost like about basically 48 minutes to get here.
That should take 15.
Yeah,
it should take 15 minutes.
Yeah,
yes, and it's
really hard not to call people names,
especially when. You want to know, oh, we're going to get on traffic. Hey, look. I'm going to get on a soapbox. You know what the worst part of traffic is? Everybody refuses to just get in line.
Yeah.
They have to get to the closest to the front that they can get and then jam themselves in.
Yeah, and then cut everybody off.
And it backs everything behind you up.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, just get in line. We've all been waiting.
Just get in line.
Yeah.
Bro, if we would all just get in line and go. It would go a lot faster.
It would, you'd breeze right through it.
But no. Mm-hmm. Even 18-wheelers, man. You're six car lengths, man. Your vehicle is six car lengths. You're going to get as close to the front as you get and then push yourself over?
Yeah. And then be mad when people won't let them over. It's like, what did you expect? We've all been sitting here for 15 friggin' minutes. You know what I mean? You come breezing in from freaking Dumas. And
you
now
son thinking, of me.
Yeah. I've been sitting here since you left Dumas, and you're in the same spot in line as I am? No, I don't think so.
Bro, and like, look, I lived in Canyon, which is, you know, it's due south of here by 27 miles-ish. You know, it's actually more like 18 miles.
I was going to say, it don't take long to get there anymore. It's like 8 minutes from my house to get to Canyon.
But I never dealt with traffic, really.
Yeah.
If I-27 was jacked up, I took the loop to Washington, Washington to Canyon.
Yeah, now the loop's jacked up.
Right. Bro, I've been living in Amarillo for 2 years. I'm like, now I understand road rage.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't had that. I've been like, I don't understand people. Why are they so impatient? And now I'm like, yeah, this is why.
Yeah. It's just recently got bad for me because, you know, before, all my jobs were always real close.
Sure.
In this vicinity. Generally, the southwest side of Amarillo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's pretty much where that was my stomping grounds. Well, that's same area as my house. I could hit any residential street and be at my house within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm
on the complete east side of town.
On the furthest northeast side that I can get from my house, which is on the furthest southwest side.
Yes.
So it's...
And I'm dead in the center, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm like half a mile north of where you're at work.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty much dead center of Amarillo. Like, yeah. There's just no... And every single... It's like that meme we talked about. Like, hey, you see that car that found that alternate route? We need to start repair on that road tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's how it feels, bro. Yeah. It's like I'm going down the road and I'm seeing cones and there's dudes out there working and I just want to roll by and be like, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, well, the important thing to remember is it's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
But it's our city planning manager.
Look, it's all about money. It's all about government money.
They have to start them by a certain time in order to get the money. Otherwise, the road won't get done. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times what happens is there will be a major construction project going on.
Yeah.
But bid letting gets out on this job, and you have to start it in order for them to get that money. So the city will lose out on that money. So they're like, yeah, start. Because there's a bunch of jacked up roads around here.
So what ends up happening is it all ends up landing at the same time.
Yeah.
And now you've bottlenecked everything.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people work on the side of town that we're on?
Oh, I know.
It's those are where the majority of the high level.
You got the prison. Pantex.
Several warehouses.
You got the airport. Yep. You got
milling. The mills that are out there.
Yeah.
You got you guys are out there. There's a lot of big time. Amazon is out there. Coca-Cola is over there. There's a lot of
GRI. You got.
Yeah. There is a lot of big employers out that direction.
Tyson.
A lot of employees. And we're all trying to go to the same place when we get off of work.
Yeah. Sarco's not that far from there, whatever it's called now. I don't know what it's called anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called anymore.
It ain't too far up the road either. Mm-mm. And you got XL's plant, which is up the road. I mean,
Bell Helicopter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of big employers down that direction, and they've got every single route to get to the west side of
Amarillo. Pinched down to one freaking lane.
Yes. I mean, and it's bad. And so.
The good news is I-40 is supposed to be done by the 30th of this month.
It's getting close. Can I tell you what really bothers me, though? They'll open it up over the weekend. And then Monday morning, jam it back up. And I'm like, just leave it, man.
Yeah.
Just leave it.
That was supposed to be night work anyways.
I know.
But I guess they weren't getting enough done. I don't know how that, what all happened there, but.
Sons of buckets.
Yeah. I did notice, though. So, when we went somewhere, was it last Thursday? Yes. We all went and had family dinner last Thursday.
Yeah, we did.
Coming down I-40, right there between the interchange of Washington, you know how it was always like.
Oh, yeah, the big bouncy? Yeah, yeah.
It's gone.
Really?
They fixed that. They
finally fixed it.
Yeah.
It's been that way for like a decade.
It's been that way for probably 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when they fixed it, because remember, I-40 used to go under I-27.
It did, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember, like, when they first flipped all that and made that cloverleaf there.
Yeah.
That's been like that since then. I don't know how long ago that was, but that's how long that spot of I-40 has been messed up like.
Yeah, that's a long time. I don't know for sure. I've been living here my whole life, so I'm not 100% sure, but it's been a long time. Oh, man.
I was probably 17, 18. I mean,
that's almost 25, 30, 27 years ago.
25 years, dude. Wow.
I'm getting old. We... You got a birthday coming up. Hey, that's not fair. You dogged me about mine. Like, we're going to party like it's 1999.
Yeah, I'm going to party like I'm 99. That's what I'm going to do. I'll be in bed by 8:30.
We did podcast on mine.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And I bet I was still in bed by 9.
Oof, maybe 9:30. I don't know.
I don't know. One of them nights we stayed out front for a while. I don't remember what night it was.
But
anywho, enough of that. Back to the point.
I lost the point. I have no idea what the point was.
But
get back in your Bible.
I think what you can really do to kind of correct that feeling like you're distancing yourself from Christ or from your Bible or from church or anything like that is just stay the course. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, if you give up on it, you are going to be distancing yourself.
Yeah.
Just stay the course. Just keep up the good fight.
Yeah. You know, people talk about like, well, I didn't, I missed a day.
So what?
So pick it back up tomorrow.
So what?
Bro, you know what? When did I go to the ball game? It was July 4th, week of July 4th.
Yeah.
Right. We went to a bookstore while we were out of town and I found a cool devotional that I like. It's a men's devotional. A full intention of like checking it every day and like having it help me to bring stuff to the table here. Guess how many times I've opened it?
Twice.
Seriously.
That was a good guess.
That was a very good guess.
I was going to say when you opened it and then one other time, you know what I mean? Like when you first got it, that's when I figured you looked at it the first time.
I mean, I've looked at it twice since I brought it home.
Okay.
Not at the store didn't count. I didn't count that one.
Yeah.
I opened it twice since I've been here, and every single day when I get up and I go to the gym, right, and I come home, you know what I'm doing? I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I have time to do it. You know what I mean? I get cleaned up. I get dressed for work, and I'm sitting on the bed, or I lay on the bed and scratch the dog's belly for 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Cut 5 minutes out of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got up at 4:30 this morning.
You're up earlier than me.
I got up.
I'm in the gym at 5:30.
Got up, jumped in the shower, and I went straight to work. I was at work by 5:10.
Yeah, you're there early.
Yeah. I was going to make 2 pots of coffee before everyone got there this morning.
Yeah.
I accomplished both. Yes, sir.
Hey, you got it. You made a goal and you got it.
Hey. But that really wasn't the goal. Like, I was already up. I couldn't sleep. And I was like, I might as well go.
Yeah. It just, I you know, but again, what you're talking about, like, I want to sit here and be like, bro, you're letting yourself down. You know, what was the point when you were looking at it? You kind of had the thought in your head that it was going to help with some of the topic stuff for the podcast. And, you know, I've said 100 times that I'm going to start taking my Bible to church, and I don't, you know. I've done it once.
Yeah.
You know, or
well,
taking
my thing
notes.
Was I was going to bring it. Well, of course, I didn't have it Wednesday because I can't tell you why. Honestly, I don't remember why I didn't have it, but I didn't have it Monday because I came straight here from work.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was a problem, you know what I mean? But,
you know, dude, I have one in my phone, so I always have one with me, right?
Yeah. It's just not the same.
It's not really, right? Like, why is that? Why do you feel like
that
is?
Because I get more out of reading it out of the book.
Yeah.
Like especially like our Bible study, of course, it does help that we have the exact same Bible.
Yeah, that's going to help, right?
So when you say Philippians 17:29 or whatever it is, yeah. I'm not looking at you like, what?
Where do I
you're
find
like,
that
page
again?
Page 13:22. And I'm like, oh, there we go. But while you're reading it, I'm reading it too, so I get more out of that. It's hard to.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something about having it in your hand. It's more.
It's kind of like.
It's more authentic. It's more meaningful to me. It's like, it's there. It's
And it's got substance.
Yeah, the way that the pages are.
It's not the screen.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the way, it's the smell of the pages. It's the feel of the book. I mean, it's just, the Bible is just, it's different.
It's like cash. I love cash. Yeah. I love having cash.
I hate having cash. My old lady always finds it.
That's a completely different conversation, brother. But I just like having cash. And like when we went on our trip, man, we saved up money and it was all cash, man. And then I find out everything is card.
I should have told you that. Yeah, you can't use cash anywhere in there.
Which is so frustrating. It's like, bro, when did cash become not valuable?
This is the reason that they do it there.
So they can charge you a 15% convenience fee?
No. Because it's too many people, too many employees to keep track of cash.
I totally understand.
So there's no cash in the stadium. You don't got to worry about people stealing it. You don't got to worry about people, you know what I'm saying?
It makes sense.
Because I guarantee you there's probably 1,000 employees in there.
Yeah, what about do you remember the hot dog vendor, the cotton candy vendor, the dude carrying the beer, huh? Colbert?
Yeah.
Where are they at?
Oh, he was all over the place where we were at.
Card only?
Yeah.
No, see, like,
he's carrying a card reader in his hand. He's like, here you go.
I miss the cash days, man.
$67 for two drinks.
$67
for two drinks.
You are out your ever-loving mind, man.
So we order it and everything. The dude's all hyping us up. You know, he's all, he's upselling us, you know, and I'm like, bro, all I want's a double crown and Sprite, you know. Double crown of Sprite short, please. That's what I want. He's like, shows me this little cup. He's like, well, this is the cup. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. He goes, or I could put it in this cup and you get more.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, okay, well, yeah, whatever.
Sure, just why not?
Put it in that cup. I don't care. Well, he didn't tell us that we had to pay for the cup.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of them stupid little aluminum cups.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He goes, I'll go easy ice, I'll heavy pour, and I'll just give you a splash of Sprite. I'm
perfect.
Like, okay, whatever. And then my wife, you know, she gets a single. He's like, I'll go heavy ice on hers, heavy pour, and a lot of Sprite. And I was like, yeah, cool, sure, whatever.
Stop talking, man.
And then he's like, $67. I was like,
and that's without a tip.
Yes. So I was like, man, no, we ain't coming back up here. We're not coming back to this one.
Yeah, it's crazy to me how expensive things have gotten. And I don't want to get off on that soapbox, but
no,
man. I think, too, something else came up during the week. One of our Bible study guys asked the question about, kind of same thing, like, you know, knowing I should be getting rid of these behaviors, these old behaviors, but finding yourself still trying to fall into those behaviors. And I responded without scripture, but there was a specific scripture that came to mind because obviously Dad and I talked about that after the fact. And, you know, it the reason I said what I said was like, because I the way I understand God's word and our part in this whole story is that this is just part of, it's just a process. And the ultimate grand scheme of things is you're not going to be that perfect creation until you're with Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get as close as you can get, but you're not going to be it until you get there.
Yeah.
Right? I think maybe just picking up the conversation so people can understand what I'm trying to say is
like,
you know, the question is, why is it that we can give up some habits or behaviors but not others, right? Basically, you know, we put in a lot of effort into trying to change behaviors, you know what I mean? Like, it took me well over a decade to kick dipping.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a long time, and I would kick and come back and kick and come back, and a lot of it, you know, my response is, you know, the reason is because this is a process.
Yeah.
Right? That's like my number one answer. It's going to be my number one answer almost every time you ask me that question or a question like it.
Yeah.
Like, how come I'm not this already? Well, because you haven't grown there yet. Yeah. It's a process, you know. A masterpiece takes time. You know, it takes pressure and results and effort in order to get there. And you may, look, you may try 1,000 times to lift, you know, to squat 500 pounds and not be able to do it before you finally can. You know, what I, you see, like, I know. I didn't know how to say it. Like,
it's effort. It's continuous effort.
And being diligent and being intentional and, like, making decisions to do these things over and over.
It goes back to what we were saying earlier about just continue your walk. Just continue.
No matter what you did, no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, keep going back to the walk.
Yeah. Right? Whatever your struggle is, just if you foul up once and you fall back into that trap, just that was just a little hiccup. Don't let it totally take you off onto a whole nother path, because that's not good for you.
Yeah, and it's actually going to get worse.
Yeah.
If you keep going out there.
You stumbled. You kind of stepped off the path, get back on it, and take off again. I mean, you watch all these guys that race NASCAR professionally and stuff. I mean, some of them stumble during the race, and they may hit the wall and still come back and win.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's because they stay the course.
Well, and you know, they didn't end up at NASCAR without racing 1,000 times in 1,000 different cars.
And 1,000 different freaking hours and, I mean,
accidents and blown motors and failures.
Years and years, you know. It don't tell you. It's not just something that happens overnight. It's not.
I guess
it's not a genie in a lamp. Like, oh, poof. Okay, give me them three wishes. That's ain't how it is. Okay, I want to walk this walk forever. I never want to screw up again. That's not how it is. It's not how it works. Temptation. The reason that temptation's there is the enemy is that's his creation. It's not God's creation. So when you're feeling that temptation, the enemy is really trying to get to you because he knows you're doing something right or you're doing something powerful. He wants to throw or jab the stick in your spokes while you're riding by. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that's his purpose. That's what he's out for.
His 100% goal is to knock you off the path.
Yeah.
100%.
However he can. He'll put thoughts in your head. He'll give you desires.
Fill
you full of lustful thoughts. I mean, he'll do all kinds of stuff to you.
Yep. And the problem is we're so weak to our human nature,
to the flesh, that we give in. And
that's the problem.
Look, it's not. Look,
this sounds really bad news.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
No.
But the good news is the price has already been paid.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
The debt has already been paid.
Okay. Look, man. Just continue your quest. I mean, stay the course and keep moving forward, and everything will be okay.
Yep.
You are forgiven.
You're forgiven.
You are forgiven.
Man, but how long do we have to stay not receiving that forgiveness?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's us. It's us that doesn't get forgiveness because we won't allow it.
I catch myself every day acting like I'm not forgiven.
Every day. God, I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it beyond that, not even just going to hell. I'm going to pay the price for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to pay for that. I messed that up, you know? You know?
There's, man.
Oh, that can go a lot of different directions really fast.
A whole lot of different directions. But I think in order, like, just to kind of clarify, you know, kind of wrap up that subject, just, you know, when you are feeling yourself distancing, just remember, you know, A, your life isn't any easier without it. It only gets worse. Further you stray, it may seem like it's easier because it's easy to be bad.
Oh, so easy.
It's a lot harder to do good.
So hard.
So that struggle that you're going through, that's because you're doing right.
Yeah.
You're trying to do right.
Yeah.
When you're just breezing along doing everything's easy and you don't got a care in the world, I'm not saying that you're doing wrong, but what I'm saying is there's a good chance that you're not focused on the right things.
Yep. Yeah. I think, again, and all of that, what we're saying is really leading back to the scripture that I wanted to share. And it's Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. And if you really listen to what it's saying, you'll hear exactly what we're talking about, right? Yeah. So it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. 17 is where he lines all this out so beautifully to me. The sinful nature wants to do evil. You have a sinful nature within you.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. It's just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. You also have a spirit within you, right? The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. You see that? There is a battle going on inside of us at all times, right? And sometimes because we are in control, because we allow ourselves to be in control, because God allows us the will to choose, right? The free will to choose, because he wants real love and not superficial love.
Yeah.
We have to choose the Spirit over the sinful nature.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what that reminds me of?
Go ahead.
You know cartoons where you got the little cartoon devil and the cartoon
angel?
Yes,
sir.
That's what that reminds me of.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that. It's okay. You're forgiven, remember?
Yeah.
You've already been forgiven, remember? You can do that.
That's already been paid. Yeah.
And then you got the angel like, hey, bro, you've come a long way. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. Or you got the devil on your shoulder, the evil part on your shoulder going, hey, yeah, I know, but that's lame.
Yeah.
You know, being sober is lame.
It's all right, man. Just do it.
Hey.
It's fun.
That girl's really fun.
Remember how much fun you had last time?
Yeah. That girl's really good looking. Or that guy's really good looking. You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. You know how it feels.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Look, they're looking at you.
Sly.
They want you to come over there.
Like, yeah. Sly little mother.
Yeah.
You know, and then the
mother fornicator,
and then the spirit on the other side is like, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to go that route.
You know, you don't
you
want
know
that.
You're going to regret it.
You know, you don't want the outcome. Right. But we do it anyway. Sadly. The truth is we can. I guess it comes back down to that same point. We probably haven't said it in a while, but the choice is ours.
Yeah.
You know. We get the choice. Yeah. Which path do you want? Dark, lonely road? Dark, lonely road. They're both dark and lonely. You know, they're both difficult. On one side, it's lit, but with artificial light. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? It's street lights. It's fake. Those go out.
Yeah.
On the other side, it's lit by the light of the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and we focus on that, and it keeps us on the path, and it feels lonely, but as you go on that path, you find that it's not quite so lonely.
Yeah.
You know?
You take out the, so, man, you take out the human aspect of, you know, like, we all want to be loved, we all want to be cared about, but if you care about that more than you care about your relationship with Christ, you're never going to feel loved or cared about.
Never. No, it's because you don't understand God's love.
You don't understand true love.
Yeah.
Once you understand true love,
then
you can understand love. People love different than other people, too. I mean,
Well, why do we not understand love? Because we focus on human love, right? And not the love of God. Because God's love is perfect, right? It's unconditional.
Yeah.
We are definitely conditionally loving. Yeah. Why do you
what
think
have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Why do you think that we teach our kids this from a very young age? Why do you think there's a such thing as Santa Claus?
Yeah.
And we use him as a freaking weapon.
Yeah.
Right? Santa Claus isn't going to come see you if you keep acting like that.
Yeah. I got a whole new outlook on the whole Santa Claus thing now.
And I just brought that up because it's like culturally, it's like something.
I'm not saying from what you've said, but just from other things. Yeah. I won't take it there because that's very controversial. And like I said, that's my own outlook.
Sure. It's all commercialized and all that business.
Yeah,
and
that's what it is. They take away what the true meaning of Christmas is. And, you know.
The point of Christmas. Why?
Yeah, it's not about some fat dude falling down a chimney and giving out presents. I mean, we're celebrating God's only son. Like, we are celebrating our Lord and Savior. Like,
we're celebrating the birth of the
King of the the reason that we are saved. If it wasn't for that, then
the lifeboat.
Yeah, I mean, we're headed up Squid.
Is that what they call Shit Creek?
Squid Creek. Yeah, I was gonna switch it up a little bit, but
sorry.
With paddles this long, you know what I mean?
Using your fingers.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. I'm just saying, and I think that the problem also there is that people use God's word as a weapon against humans too.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we cherry pick scripture to
accommodate to our view,
to accommodate our agenda.
Yeah.
And to argue against things that we disagree with, using it as a weapon against people, and not recognizing one of the foundational parts of this whole thing is that the enemy is not people.
I think if you really look at a Bible verse that someone is trying to weaponize, if you read before it and after it pretty thoroughly, you'll find in there something that kind of is contrary to that.
You better look for context.
Yeah, because he's all about he'll set you up only to switch up on you in a whole nother verse. He'll drop some
more
knowledge.
See?
I know, you over here telling me about this. I told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, go read on a couple more verses or later on in the chapter and find something. You'll find more than what you're trying to use to use against somebody, you know what I mean?
And I think that, again, when we start talking about process, I think that's why it's so important to continuously be on this walk, right? And to continue to dig into Scripture and, again, not using it as a weapon, but using it as a means of learning and understanding and growing our relationship with Christ first, right? And then sharing it with others, right, is important. We're meant to be disciples and to create more disciples, right?
Yeah.
Without question. That is without question. Not arguing against that.
Yeah.
The problem is we want to see things that are like, I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
And go, no, no, no. And wave our little finger, our fat wave my fat finger in your face.
Mine's crooked.
Yours is crooked. It's creepily crooked, yes. And wave my fat finger in somebody's face and be like, no, no, no. Yeah. See, you're not supposed to do that. You shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong, right? When in reality, God gets to choose what's right and wrong. God gets to choose what's forgivable and what's not. God gets to choose the substance of our heart. He gets to see what's truly in our hearts. And I do care about our behaviors, okay? Yeah. I want to make sure I'm clear about this because our behaviors are dangerous and they could take us in paths and in directions that we don't need to go.
Yeah.
Clearly. But just because I see somebody else acting in a way that I know is contrary to what God desires for us does not mean that he loves them any less.
Yeah.
It does not mean that I understand what the content of their heart truly is.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here carrying my own BS. I'm sitting here doing my own dirt. And that's why I choose not to react in that way.
Remember, God, Jesus will leave the 99 to come after the one.
Every time.
You know what I mean? So.
And you know why that is? Because the 99 are sitting there in their righteous indignation, like, see, we're right, we're good. Where's our blessings? Yeah. I'm getting a little irritated. I'm sorry. Because I'm just, I'm guilty too. I'm guilty too.
We're all guilty of it.
And I don't like it. I don't want to be guilty of it. I just want to love people.
All you can do is just stay the course. Work on yourself. Work on your reactions when you see things like that that aren't really don't really align with the word of God that or the actions that they should be taking. You just got to kind of just remember that they can't disappoint God.
You'd have to do something he didn't think was coming
to disappoint. So that's.
But he knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Yeah. He is the beginning and the end. That's the problem, right? And I love this conversation because it's sparking that passion, that fire within my heart.
Yeah.
Because I'm truly passionate about the lost. I really am. I want the people who don't know Jesus the way that I do to know them, know him the way I do.
Yeah.
Right. But I also have to recognize that nobody's where I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm on my path.
Yeah. You can't take people with you on your path. It's your That's path. Right. It's your own path.
It's my path.
Yeah.
And yes, while I'm trying to share the love of Christ with people and we are trying to motivate people toward this path, fully understanding that it's hard, that it will not be easy. And we sit here knowing that we're broken too.
Yeah.
You just can't,
I mean, moral of the story, don't point your finger.
No.
Let ye who is without sin cast the first stone, which nobody's going to throw anything.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. I think I don't want to say that, but. If it was us, if we were standing in that crowd instead, if we were standing in a crowd right now condemning somebody, regardless of what their behavior was, and
chances are in any of that in that situation, Jesus would be the one to still console that person.
Yeah.
That we're all trying to judge, that we're all trying to shame, that we're all trying to outcast, that we're all trying to belittle.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the exact part of the Bible. I can't quote that, but I do know they were fixing to stone this woman.
Yes.
For adultery.
Yes.
And he goes and kneels beside her. Right? Yes, and how that goes.
He starts writing in the sand.
Yeah.
Doesn't say what he was writing. And then he looks at them and tells them,
"Yeah,
let he who is without sin cast the first stone." And then he starts writing again. And they all drop their rocks and tick off.
Yeah. So that just goes to show you. He loves everybody just like he loves us. We're not special. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all the same.
Yeah.
We're all on different paths. We're all walking different walks.
Yeah.
But he loves us all the same.
Yeah. The enemy is not the people.
No.
Gosh, but how hard is it for us to see that?
Because you can see the enemy in some people.
That everybody, though, that's, you know, the problem.
Like, there, you can look at some people and be like, ooh, man, this dude, man, I don't know.
I know, right?
And that's part of the judgment thing.
We're sitting here like, instead of being patient with people, and instead of being patient in traffic, we talked a lot about traffic today. I mean, seriously, bro, like, it seriously has nearly pushed me to the thought of violence. No, it's definitely pushed me to the thought of violence.
And then you get that one jack wagon that's like messing everything up. The light finally turns green and they're on their phone.
You son of a bee.
And everybody's like freaking out. And it's like, bro, this is one lane traffic. You got to be on your A game right now. You
move ain't got, your yeah. ass.
You got three people get through this light we just waited 5 minutes on. You know, yeah. It's like, come on, man. Yeah.
And it's so easy because, and I look, I think that that's the thing though. We have to recognize that this world is very it's fallen.
That right there will teach you patience. You pray for patience. That right there will teach you patience.
What's the quote? Right? When I asked God for patience, did he give me patience no, or gave, did he give me opportunity
to put you in a situation to be patient?
When I asked God for strength,
he put you in a position to earn strength.
When I asked God to teach me joy,
put you in a miserable place to learn your own joy.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
When he asked you for wisdom, he put you around stupid people. I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to lighten the mood, you know.
No, but you know what? We just have to recognize that we're all in this together. Every single person has got their own, right? And no one person's failures are bigger than our own.
Yeah, but if you look at modern society, how it is today. The way that we have been structured and groomed, and I'm saying by other people, by politicians, by the news, by all these different ways that we get information. I mean, we've all been groomed not to be united as one. They don't want that. The
turmoil
enemy doesn't
is
want
good.
That. Yeah,
turmoil
they
is
want,
good for the
they
bottom
want
line.
An uproar. They want people to be unhappy. They want all these things because they win like this. You know, when I say they, I mean, I do believe that the enemy is walking this earth, and I do believe that he is having his way with some people of higher power. I do firmly believe that because if you look at the way,
it's without question,
look at the way things are happening in the world today, that you cannot tell me that he's not.
It's without question.
So, he's
read the Bible.
Yeah, he is putting himself into, now I'm not saying physically, but he is verbalizing things that need to happen, and people are picking up on it and they're using it against us.
Yep. Are you ready? I mean, we're meant to understand, like, look, man, it's going to get ugly. And the condemnation towards us for being Christ followers is coming, right? And I don't know what it'll look like before you and I leave this earth, but martyrdom's not necessarily out of the equation, right? Yeah. I mean, we see what we see in the Bible and think that at some point we are going to have to violently defend, right? Forgetting and not recognizing that that is after Christ comes back,
yeah.
Right? Instead of also, when we read through this Bible and understand, Christ never carried a weapon other than God's word, right? The disciples, when they were put to death, didn't fight. Tell me, you don't have to tell me how hard it is to think about and how hard it is, because especially people who live in this country, and especially men who've grown up in this country,
you try to hurt my family or
your dead
loved
man.
Ones. It's going to be real hard not to. I can't say that I wouldn't.
I mean, I would say this.
I'm loaded up. I got guns. I got guns.
Yeah. I will say this. Defending your home is one thing. Defending yourself because you believe in Christ is what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I got what you're saying.
Okay. And you know, I don't know, bro. I don't know all the answers.
Self-sacrifice.
Bro, Paul was stoned to death and didn't die.
you think about this. If you are put in a position, I can tell you this right now because I'm not in the position, but if you were put in a position to be like, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If you say yes, we're going to cut your freaking eyeballs out. Like, we're going to torture you in the slowest way. I want to say, of course I am. Torture me.
Yep, I'm ready.
But when you're facing that, oof, man.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that are going to buckle. Oh, absolutely not. No, man, that's hogwash. That's BS.
Yeah.
I only claim that because I'm trying to fit in.
Peter right. did it. Peter did it. But Peter also had the opportunity, right? Christ asked him, Peter, do you love me? Three times after the crucifixion. He knew he was going to fall. He knew he was going to fail. He yeah. knew it. He warned, he told Peter, this is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And he did. Exactly what he said he would do, right? Hell, think about this at the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever they were taking Christ's custody. Peter, the ever defensive fighting man, cuts dude's ear off. Did Jesus turn to Peter and be like, yeah?
No.
No. He said, put the sword away.
Yeah.
He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And he healed the man's ear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Is this hard? 1,000% it's hard.
Yeah.
But my God, what is it worth it?
Yeah.
It's the question.
1,000%
Are we worried about that grain? Which is here and now?
Or the soul salt shaker.
The whole salt shaker. No.
I got a good one.
You got a good one?
I got a good one. It's kind of good.
Okay, man. You can't do that. You can't be like, hey, bro, I got a good one. And they'd be like, well.
it's really stupid. Okay, so dad joke for this episode. My first elevator experience. It was so uplifting.
So bad.
They keep getting worse, too. What do you got? Lay it on me.
Don't ask me why, but I just feel like this is the right one for today. It's not quoted to anybody or credited to anybody. Sometimes when things are falling apart, they may actually be falling into place. I don't know.
That's pretty deep, though.
It's it feels like it just falls in line, right? Like we've, because listen, you can listen to a lot of what we've been talking about this whole last hour or so, and hear a lot of discouraging things. And I hope that nobody hears that. I hope
that wasn't
the
purpose of it.
No. I hope people are hearing the good news.
Yeah.
Right. The good news is that the debt is already paid. Right. It doesn't give us a free pass to go do whatever we choose to do, whatever we want to do. We should be trying to do the right thing at all times. We should be.
Yeah.
But are you going to do it? Are you going to always get it? Are you always going to do it right? It's not possible. You're not, because you have a sinful nature. You have a human nature. Right?
Yeah.
If there's anything that I hope that anybody heard today, is that the enemy is not people. The enemy is, as described in Ephesians, chapter dumb John doesn't know. Ephesians chapter 6. I thought I had a good segue there. Dang. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, and against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places.
We talked about this, but I feel like the evil spirits in heavenly places are these false leaders.
Yeah, in churches.
Churches, yes.
Because if you don't think the enemy's at your church, man, you're wrong.
He's listening to everything that's going on in there.
Oh, yeah. And he's
attacking them harder than he's attacking us, I promise you, because they are the ones trying to guide people.
He takes advantage as best he can, and this is why I pray all the time. I beg God. I don't beg. I remind God that when I ask for wisdom, he will give it to me. If you seek, you will find, right? And that I choose not to be teaching lies. And falsehoods.
Special place for them.
Read it.
Special place.
Read God's word and tell me what it says about teachers who teach lies. It's not a good thing. It's not going to get them anywhere good.
I got to say, this hat.
Ooh, that is a cool hat, man.
Yeah.
I got him a birthday gift.
I'm bringing sexy back.
He's bringing sexy back.
Anyways, thank y'all for listening.
Yeah.
Catch us on all our major platforms, RSS.com, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music,
YouTube,
TikTok.
Yeah.
Check out our Bible Roulette.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John. We love you.